I am not an expert. I've never published a book or taught a class, but I love quilting, and I love talking about quilting. I make a lot of mistakes, but I like to think that sometimes I learn from them and get just a little bit better. If hearing about someone else's goofs and mess-ups makes you feel better about yours, then I've done my job. So join me now as we talk about quilting for the rest of us. Hey, I'm Sandy, and I'm a quilter, finally, again. And welcome to episode 216, in which we're log cabining. And I'm recording this on Sunday, March 17th, which is St. Patrick's Day. Far less important a holiday than the day following National Quilting Day. I am celebrating National Quilting Weekend by actually recording a podcast for the first time in, I believe, over a year. So I'll go into that a little bit. Not going to take a lot of time for it, but just as I have been kind of regrouping in these last several weeks, I did listen to the last episode that I posted back in, I believe it was November, of 2022, I think. And I really wanted to just reach back in time and give that Sandy a hug. I could tell how tired I really was just by listening to my tone of voice. There had been a lot that went on. And then I had at that point the hope that things were going to be settling down. And of course, they didn't. Shortly after posting that, I found that I was going to have knee replacement, which happened in February of 2023, which was then taken up with, you know, the recovery and everything, and then several very busy months making up for lost time work-wise, some travel again, and so forth. I did find notes about what was originally going to be episode 216. Can't even remember if I did the projects I said I was going to start at that point. It is true that somehow the last really 4 years since the beginning of the pandemic has really just been a fog. And I've talked to a lot of people. They're all kind of feeling that way. I think, you know, that was a life-changing thing for a lot of us. And we're still kind of in a little bit of PTSD from that. I will say right now, I am finally really starting to feel myself again. I don't know if it'll last, who knows, but I'm going to enjoy it and make good use of it while it's feeling good. I will say I've been talking about trying to get my mojo back, and of course the phrase a lot of people use now is sojo, getting our sojo back. But, you know, I have problems thinking of myself, what I do as sewing. I still associate sewing with garment construction, with tote bags, with all of that kind of stuff. I don't do that. Maybe the occasional bag, but I don't do garment sewing at all. So I prefer to think of my mojo as Quojo. It's quilting Joe, whatever Joe is. And of course, Quojo sounds a little bit like something from a Stephen King novel, but okay, I am getting my Quojo back. I have to say it was a combination of factors, I think, that got me back into that place. Because I have, as you know, if you follow my blog, if you follow Instagram, and with the Once in a Great While or Blue Moon episode that I was posting, I did try to sew here and there, and I would have one or two good sessions, and it would feel really good, but nothing stuck, and I would just end up feeling overwhelmed and tired again. This time, when I started feeling that little bit of a sense of, you know, I really kind of need to get back into my sewing room, it was more a mental understanding of the role that quilting had played in my life before, and really kind of wanting to get back to that feeling and still not quite having it. But ultimately, what I decided to do was set aside the storm at sea. Yes, that is still in my life, but we're going to talk about more about that in a minute. And I decided I'm just going to release myself from that for the time being, and I'm just going to do some fun and fast sort of things just to get myself back into the feel of it until I didn't have that feeling anymore and was ready to face the storm at sea. So the very first thing I decided to do was a jelly roll race adaptation. I have just so many 2.5-inch strips. I have a bunch of jelly rolls. I've got a bunch of whatever half a jelly roll is, where it's, you know, only 20-something strips instead of 40-something strips. a ton of 2.5-inch strips in my scrap stash that I have collected, or I've just cut my own, myself from straps. And so I have been just looking for a lot of things I could do to use up those strips. And so I had found a Jelly Roll Race adaptation, I guess, that looked super fast and easy. And I have a couple of baby quilts I needed to get done. And I had one Jelly Roll that was just really adorable baby fabric that I bought somewhere along the way. I mean, I have no idea when I actually got that Jelly Roll, but it was really cute. So I decided I would quickly do it. I found a description on a blog post, didn't bother printing it off because it didn't have the print-friendly version, so it would have been a ton of pages. So I didn't print it off. I thought, oh, this is simple. I'll remember how to do this. It's really easy. Went to do it a few days later without refreshing my memory, and you can see where this is going. Completely messed it up. It's something that all has to do with geometry. It's you do the Jelly Roll Race standard, and then you cut the finished product up in a certain way to get it to go back together in a certain way, very much like, you know, color forms or a Tetris puzzle. And I thought I had in my head what the geometry was, and I clearly didn't because I completely screwed it up. And because I was still in reentry phase and had very little patience, very little mental brain power, I just got frustrated and I set the pieces aside. I mean, I messed around with it for a day or two on my design wall, and I would pull it off and I would try to figure out how to cut it and put it back. And even had my son come in and look at it just to tell me that I really had messed it up. I wasn't just not looking at it correctly. And he confirmed, nope, you messed it up. So I finally just folded up the pieces. So it came, I had four large pieces that I had cut. So I just folded them up and set them aside to give away. I was just like, I'm done. This has already been tainted for me to even enjoy going back to, because that was the mental framework I was in. And I had in my mind my friend Lori, one of my BQF's BFFs that I've talked to about in years past, because she's really good at taking random stuff and making it really cute, putting something together. So we'll get back to the end of that story in a little bit. The next thing I did was I decided, well, let me just play with one of my specialty rulers. And I have a curvy log cabin ruler by Creative Grids. I actually have multiple sizes of them, but for whatever reason, the 4-inch size was the first one sitting on my cutting table. And I'm thinking I must have gotten it out of a sew sampler box or something, because normally I don't buy miniature size rulers. That's not my jam. But I just grabbed this 4-inch size, pulled a bunch of strips together. I think it was even maybe a honey bun that I had that I thought, okay, I'll, you know, that's the perfect size for this. The nice thing about Creative Grids specialty rulers, I love them for this, is they print right on the ruler what size strips you need to cut, at least for all their log cabin, all their strip style type things. They put on there, here's the size strips that you need, and they have a QR code that you can use your phone on to immediately get sent to the YouTube video for how to use it, and or a downloadable PDF of the instructions. So you don't have to keep the packaging around like you do with most specialty rulers, so it's really helpful. So anyway, I took it off, looked at the instructions. I had a honey bun that would work, and so I just hauled off and started doing it. Ended up making every single mistake you could possibly make, really, every single one. And I ended up tossing all the scraps. Every time I messed something up, boom, it hit the trash can. Now, here's why. I am trying to release myself from the tyranny of the scrap. And those of you who have been in the quilting world for a while know exactly what I'm talking about. There is a sense out there that you absolutely cannot waste fabric. There is a, you know, kind of this school of thought out there that if you make a mistake, you got to figure out how to fix it and redo it, or you have to turn it into something else. And you know what? That just drives me nuts, because that is part of what stands in my way of getting things done. Now, for those of you who live that, more power to you. I am very impressed. I'm always happy to see what other people have done. Like I said, my friend Lori is very good at that. I know people who are scrap quilters that take everybody else's mistakes and their scraps and all of that and do something with them. And I do get to that point, but in that moment when I just needed to get something done and have fun doing it, that was not where my head was. So I just, it hit the trash can. I screwed it up, boom. Now, mind you, these were all very small pieces, so it would have been a lot to try to turn them out into something else. Again, 4-inch size finished block. So you know these are all small pieces I'm working with. About the tyranny of the scrap thing, it just brought to mind, I was just watching on YouTube as I was doing something else, an interview with Tula Pink at the Missouri Star Quilt Company. I don't normally watch stuff like that. I don't find, for all I did interviews in my early podcasting days, I don't tend to watch a lot of interviews. I just, you know, you're always dealing, where do you get your inspiration? Da, 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 da. And it's kind of the same questions over and over and very similar answers. So I don't tend to watch that stuff. But I needed something that I could kind of pay half attention to while I was working on this other thing. And I did enjoy it. She is a very charming person. She has a great sense of humor. So it was a fun interview to watch. One of the things she said that really struck me was whenever she gets a new, she does all her drawing by hand on her fabric lines. All of that she does by hand. And then once she has it done in her sketchbook, then she digitizes it. So she was talking about how when she gets a new sketchbook, with that first blank page, she takes a marker and she scribbles all over the page just to get away from the blank page syndrome. Because now she's messed up the book. It is no longer pristine, and so anything after that has got to be better. And as soon as she was talking about that, I just thought that was what I was doing with those, with tossing my mistakes on the scrap quilt on that 4-inch block. It was really just sort of, okay, screwed that up, boom, it's gone. But it got me away from that sense of obligation that I need to do something productive with this. And all in all, I probably didn't end up throwing out that much fabric, but it was so freeing to me. Oh, screwed it up, boom, in the trash can, move on. That was exactly what I needed for myself in that moment. However, after I'd messed it up multiple times, I decided, maybe it's the 4-inch size. Maybe this is just too small and it's driving me insane. So I remembered that I did actually have another curvy log cabin ruler that I had bought earlier. I had done an online class during the pandemic. That was the curvy log cabin. And for that one, we had the 6-inch ruler. And so somewhere in my quilting studio, I knew I had that 6-inch ruler. So I went and dug it out, and I realized I had gotten 8 blocks done during that class. So I decided, okay, you know, this is already probably a third of the way towards a project of some sort, a sizable piece. So I just pulled scraps that matched those first 8 blocks. I had actually a bunch of scraps with those first 8 blocks because I had already collected them. And then I just pulled some more from my stash, and I ended up doing 48 blocks altogether very quickly. And again, this was still the Creative Grids curvy log cabin. This was the 6-inch tool, ruler tool. It is so easy to use. I absolutely loved it. I only had one block that I cut using the wrong side of the ruler, so meaning I cut it too skinny when it needed to be wider. And so, yes, that block also hit the trash, but it wasn't too far along at the time. And I had enough scraps, so I was able to quickly replace it. And so now I've got 48 6-inch blocks. Actually, I'm wondering now if I... No, it was the 6-inch block. I'm sorry. I do also have the 8-inch, and I think I might also have the 10-inch. I love the curvy log cabin. I really do. And you can do so many really cool things with it in layout. So I had, over the years, I don't think I intended to have 4 sizes of it, but over the years, I had amassed 4 sizes of it. So I'll be talking about that, where that's going, again, in a little bit. But that, the 48 blocks that I got done, I'm currently just sewing them in. I'm going to throw a quick border on it. It's not going to be, I don't even know if it'll be like a lap size quilt, but I'm also going to use it to refresh my memory on free motion quilting. This whole thing is, that whole project is just getting myself back into the habit of things which releases myself from the sense that anything actually has to look good when it's done. I mean, right now it's pretty cute. I don't mind it, but I'm also not in love with it to say I don't want to ruin it by doing something else. So I may even try some feathered wreaths on it. I haven't done a decent feathered wreath in my entire life. Maybe this is the time for me to practice it. So anyway, that's sort of a review of that Creative Grids curvy log cabin. I will be talking a little bit more about plans I have in the future for another curvy log cabin. Oh, the other thing that happened during that whole process is often when I've been away from quilting for a while, when I first get back into it, I remember the things that I'd kind of wanted to get myself the last time, things that, you know, tools I had that didn't work as well as I wanted to, and I wanted to replace it with a different version and so forth. And so as I was doing this, I realized the presser, the quarter inch seam presser foot that I usually use, that I have a Janome, has the little flange that comes down. And I typically love, that's my favorite quarter inch presser foot, because you just slide the outside of the fabric along that fringe, that flange, and you're going to get either, you know, a quarter inch or a scant quarter inch, depending on where your needle setting is, exactly right every time. However, when you're doing a log cabin, after the first row or two, you're starting to run that flange over seams that have already been sewn, and so it keeps catching. And even though I've got a knee lift so I can quickly pop my presser foot up a little bit, slide it under there, and keep going, it's just a constant sort of stop, start, stop, start, stop, start. So then I thought, you know, let me test out, since this is sort of my test project, let me test out a different quarter inch seam technique. And so I changed my presser foot. I used to have, well, I did finally figure out where it was. I thought I used to have and I had lost, but then I realized, no, it's on my retreat machine. And the two, even though they're both Janomes, they're enough years apart that I can't always switch feet between them. So one set of feet lives with one and one set of feet lives with the other. That's where my other presser, or my other quarter inch seam was, which doesn't have the flange. It's just a clear foot with little red stripes across it. And anybody who has one knows exactly what I'm describing right now. If you don't, you have no clue. It's okay. You don't need to know. So I just pulled out kind of my regular, flat, normal presser foot, and then used, I think that time I decided to use the quarter inch seam tape, which is the narrow tape that has a black line and two red lines, or a red line and two black lines. I don't remember what order it's in now. But if you line it up even with where your needle is going to go down and then just run things visually along that outside line, that's a quarter inch. Again, if you know what I'm talking about, you can picture it exactly. If you don't, I'm sorry. I will try to remember to post a link to it in the show notes of this episode. I hope I remember to do that. So I did that for several blocks, and it was okay, but I still found that periodically I was having problems visually getting it along that edge, and I never trusted that I had it lined up accurately, which is a whole other thing, because of the way the lines are on my particular machine, and they don't come out that far, so it's really hard for me to get a good sense that I haven't gone a little bit askew as I'm trying to line something up. So I went online to see, does Janome have another quarter inch presser foot that does not have the flange? Thinking I'd be buying the clear one with the red stripes on it that I had for my other machine, but no, they have a completely different quarter inch presser foot now. And so I went ahead and I bought that one. And so when that came, I then finished the blocks with that one. So if you're keeping track at home, I have now used three different presser feet, three different quarter inch presser feet for this one project, which means, no, they're not all exactly the same quarter inch. And for all that you can measure and you think you're getting the same quarter inch, if you change presser feet or if you change methods halfway through, it's going to shift it a little bit. And as we all know in quilting, the annoying thing is if you're even off by a couple of threads, it adds up, especially in a log cabin for some reason. So when you look closely, as it's really rude to do, at my finished curvy log cabin, you can see there's some blocks that don't completely match up to where the seams are supposed to match on the others. It all sews together fine. It's just a couple of the long blocks don't come to the same height in the block. But again, I don't care. This was a test project. Of those three systems for a quarter inch seam, I still like the flange best, but that really only works if you're not sewing over a bunch of other seams. So I don't know how I'm going to proceed on the next one. Meanwhile, I have now bought a fourth method. Here's the thing about being away from quilting for a while. New stuff comes out. New tools come out. People invent new things. So I found another one that is sort of a, you know how you slice, some of you will know anyway, how you slice a chunk of masking tape with an X-Acto knife and pull it off the tape wad all at once. So you've got this nice wall built up and you line that up along your quarter inch. It's essentially that same idea, only it comes with this little thing that you hook up to your needle. Okay, again, I'll try to remember to hook this in to link this in the show notes, because there's no way I can describe it accurately. And at the moment, I can't remember what it's called and I didn't put it in my notes. But you hook up this plastic gauge thing with your sewing needle, and then you put the sticky thing down in the middle of it, and it supposedly lines it up correctly for an accurate quarter inch seam. So it wasn't that expensive. I'm willing to give it a shot. I'll keep you posted about that one. So that'll be another episode someday down the road. So then I decided I can almost never make my guild meetings anymore, because I almost always end up with a meeting scheduled the same night. Our guild has retreats twice a year. I can almost never make them. Haven't even tried the last few years, but this year I looked at the next three. Back over the summer, I looked at the October, the May, and the October dates again. Can't make any of them. And our guild also just recently started having sew days again, which is once a month for a Friday and a Saturday. They all meet somewhere, usually in a church fellowship hall or church basement or something, and sew together. And I almost can never make those either. You know, it's funny. I feel like I'm not out every weekend, but somehow they manage to hit all the weekends I'm out. So I finally was looking around my work office one day and realized I actually have enough space in this office to invite a small number of people over and have my own sew days. And so I checked it out. We rent our office space from a church. And so I checked it out to say, are you going to have any problem with me doing this? And I talked to some of my officers to say, do you have any problem with me doing this? And nobody had any problem with me doing it. So I ended up scheduled last weekend, the weekend before the one that we're just finishing now, I had sew days in my office with 1, 2, 3, 4 friends. And it was so much fun. Most of us started Friday afternoon, probably around 2 o'clock-ish. And then we had all day Saturday. And it was just so nice to be sewing again and back with my friends. And just, oh, it was so nice. And all of us, because two of the people that were with us do not normally make sew days either. And then I also had my BFF BQF Kate come. She only came for a little while on Saturday afternoon, because she has never done anything like that. She's never done sew days or quilt retreats or anything. So she brought some hand quilting. And for her, it's also getting her back into sewing. She has not really been doing any quilting for a long time. And she does beautiful hand quilting. And so she just pulled out a really old project and brought it with her and sat and worked on that for 3 hours or so with us. And it was just really nice. And one of the things I did was the only project I brought to start was that Storm at Sea. And I told my friends, I said, you make sure I stay focused and that I just get this thing done. Because I knew at that point, I probably only had a few hours left of work to get the top pieced. And sure enough, by Saturday afternoon at about 2 o'clock, it was done. I was so excited. I was doing happy dances around my office and I kept showing it to people. I was like, look, it's done. It's done. This has been, I don't know what, 5 years, 4 years in the making, 5 years, something like that. And it is stinking huge. It is really big. It's a large king size. I will probably be sending it out to have it quilted. My original thought was to rent time on a long arm and do it, but I know trying to get myself scheduled in for that day to do it, and then it would take me at least a whole day to do it, if not a day and a half. Even just doing an all over, I wouldn't be trying to do anything custom because it's that big. I don't get overwhelmed. I think I would really like to do that, but I also just need to get this thing done and in the mail to the people who got married 2 years ago. And also, I have more wedding quilts I need to do. I have two more nieces that have gotten married in the time that I was working on this one. So I think I am just going to send it off somewhere because at least then it's in somebody else's hands for a while and I don't have it hanging over my head as something I still need to do. So that is a huge relief. The only thing I am sort of thinking about is if you are familiar with the Storm at Sea block, there is a single sash and there's a double sash. A single sash only has kind of the sashing edge around two sides of it. The double sash has around all four. So it changes the design a little bit when you're actually laying it out. But where it really comes in, I only did a single sash, which I love the way the center comes out, but it means the far right and the top of the quilt, I'm trying to picture it in my head, across the top and down the far right, there's a row of what is that sashing. And if I really wanted to make it look finished, I would just do that sashing piece of the block and run the sashing on the other two sides. I hadn't really thought about that when I was designing it. It wasn't until I was looking at it laid out on my floor, because nowhere else was big enough, that I realized, you know, it really would look fully done if it had those two borders on it. On the other hand, it's not like the couple who's getting it would ever really notice at that level. They wouldn't take a look at it and say, well, wait a minute, it's only got this one line on the two sides. So I'm trying to decide how much I'm probably not going to do anything about it. Knowing me, I just want it done. I want it off. I want it quilted. I want to get it bound and I want to get it in the mail. So I probably won't do that, but that is sort of a lesson learned for the future, is to plan ahead and do that, because it wouldn't have taken me that much, I don't think, to do the, especially in EQ8, to figure out which blocks would need that extra sashing on which side and just sew it all together, you know, when I was laying it out. She says, knowing it took her 4 or 5 or maybe even 6 years to finish the Storm at Sea the first time, to say it wouldn't take all that much to do that differently next time. I may never do a Storm at Sea again, although I do love it. And with the AccuQuilt, again, this was another one for anybody who hasn't been keeping up. This is another one I did use the AccuQuilt Storm at Sea die for. Very helpful. I can't imagine how long this would have taken me had I done all that cutting myself with a rotary cutter. It really helped having it done with the die. The place where I made my error was, again, because I was doing the cutting over a period of time, I thought I was taking good notes. But every time I sat down to start sewing stuff together, I'd realize I had missed some pieces, because this is not, it's one of their block on board blocks. This is not the type where you do one pass and you have all the pieces you need, or even two passes, two different colors, you have all the pieces you need. You have to do kind of multiple passes with different parts of the die. So like one set of pieces, you only need one per block, another set of pieces, you need two per block, and so forth. So you kind of really have to keep track of what you're cutting as you cut it. And I wasn't as good at keeping track as I thought I was. In the long run, at the end, when I had the whole thing done, I only had, I think, 12 of one piece left over. So I figure in a quilt this huge with as many pieces as went into it. It was 120 blocks total. Yeah, 12 pieces. not a bad thing. So that's the Storm at Sea. So glad to report that I'm done with the bulk of my work on that. I will keep you posted as to how the long arming piece ends up. So what I've been doing beyond that is a lot of log cabins, and that's for a couple of reasons, maybe three, probably more once I finish talking. The first and foremost is I have always loved a log cabin block ever since I was little, and it's probably has something to do with the fact that when my mom first started quilting, I was in elementary school. I don't remember how old I was. I had to have been younger than 10. I might have only been around 8 that my mom made me her first quilt. Her first quilt went to my oldest sibling, and she worked her way down. I was the youngest, so I got my first quilt. She had already made several quilts, but it was a log cabin. And then later, she made me, when I was in high school, I got one that was, oh, this beautiful. It was probably my favorite one of all the quilts she made me. Unfortunately, it got totally destroyed in a move. It was white and purple, and I don't remember what block that was, but it was still a fairly traditional block, but it had a nice crisp white background. It was a gorgeous quilt. And then for my wedding, she made us a curvy log cabin. So that's probably, you know, I've got these emotional, nostalgic references to the log cabin, but I also love it because there is so much you can do with this one block. You know, depending on what you do with the colors, depending on what you do with the size of the strips, depending on how you lay it out, you have completely different quilts every time. And I just adore the fact that you can have a relatively simple block that's relatively fast to piece, depending on how you're doing it, that you can just do so much with. So I have a grand time with the log cabin. So as I have already mentioned, I did the curvy log cabin with the getting myself back on board. I do have the 4, 6, and 8 inch. I really love the Creative Grids curvy log cabin trim tool. Love it. It works beautifully. It's super easy to use. You just have to pay attention to where you are on the ruler and which way the ruler is flipped and which direction you're going in, but you get into a rhythm. So like if I put it aside for a few days, I'd have to remind myself when I came back, where was I, which way am I flipping? But once I'd done a couple of blocks, I just started going, and it was super, super easy. I will say that if you had narrower strips all in, if the strips you were cutting were a little bit narrower and you had more strips per block, it would emphasize that curve more. So if you don't, the curvy log cabin is a basic log cabin block. But what you do is one side, either the light or the dark, you cut the strips narrower. Traditional log cabin, all the strips are the same width, just different lengths. In a curvy log cabin, you choose either the dark or the light, depending on which side you want the curve to show up, and that side you cut the strips narrower. And what it does is it creates an optical illusion of the of a curve in that block, rather than kind of the straight edge that forms sort of the diamond when you're putting blocks together. This forms more of a ball. And I just, again, I love that. I love the optical illusion of it. The one that my mom made for me and my husband, the curve is really obvious. You wouldn't even know necessarily it was a log cabin if you weren't a quilter and didn't know what you were looking at. But she had, every one of those blocks had a ton of strips, and they were narrower altogether. So the curve is super obvious. In this, it's obvious enough. And it's good enough. And it's fast enough that it makes me really, I'll use it time and time again. So moving on from that curvy log cabin, I'm now trying out the Creative Grids Wonky Cabin trim tool. Same ruler, same concept, works exactly the same way, but what you're doing is you're cutting the strips at sort of diagonal angles. So it comes out wonked. Not the outside of the block. The outside of the block is exactly the size it needs to be. It's the inside, the cabin itself. And for this one, I bought the ruler because I wanted to use it to make a baby quilt for, yes, the couple that the Storm at Sea wedding quilt is for. You see, I couldn't quite get the wedding quilt to them fast enough, and now I'm also having to make them a baby quilt at the same time. So they're going to get them both at the same time, which is very funny to me. But in any case, so I'm making them a wonky cabin for their baby quilt. I believe the trim tool I have is a 10-inch square, so for a baby quilt, this is going to go super fast. I did actually start it at Soday's. This was the one I started, because by the time I finished with the Storm at Sea, not only was I kind of tired, but we also only had a couple hours left that we were going to be able to stay, because I was getting on a plane dead early the next morning, so I wasn't going to stay that late that night. So I thought, well, I'll just play around with this, and if I screw it up, you know, I'll start again. I just want to get used to how this ruler works and what it looks like. I'm doing it red and black on a white background because those are all colors that babies find very attractive. But at the last minute, based on the scraps I had there, I decided to throw turquoise center squares in there. So it should be really cute when it's finished. And this is all stuff I have in my stash. So the only thing, if I get this done and I decide I need some sort of a border on it, that I might have to go shopping for. We'll see, you know, how it turns out and what I've got in my stash. Most certainly we'll probably have to get backing from my stash, but everything else is, or I'm sorry, backing from a store, but everything else is from my stash. And I really can't wait to see this done. And like I said, it should go pretty quick. So I do need to, that should probably go next. However, my interest made me start wanting to work on the next wedding quilt I have to do, which is for the Storm at Sea niece's sister, who got married early this summer. She and her now husband are both engaged in Anyway, they're both at green jobs. They're both really into environmentalism. They live the van life. I mean, they do have an apartment that they live in, but they also have this van that they've kitted out themselves that, you know, that they can live in. And they have a couple of times done this 3-month U.S. tour where they were working from their van. They would just drive somewhere, camp, work in their van, and keep going. So I thought making them a log cabin quilt was just so perfect. And especially, excuse me, if I can make it completely from scraps, which also gives me a great way to get rid of my scraps. Excuse me, I'm actually fighting off a cold, so my throat's getting a little bit scratchy, but I'm getting close to being finished with this episode, so I should be able to match it out. And anyway, this one, I think, I do have a 12-inch log cabin trim tool, which I may use for this. On the other hand, I may also use my AccuQuilt log cabin die. I'm leaning towards the log cabin die. What I'm going to do is do a couple of quick blocks with both of them and just see which one goes faster. The log cabin trim tool, again, Creative Grids, I think I said that. The benefit that has going for it is I don't have to pre-cut anything. I can just chain piece along strips, and as I run out of space on a strip, I just switch colors and start adding another one. It's a really fast sewing quilt, and then you just cut across the pieces, and then you trim it down to size. So it goes very fast on the sewing end. The AccuQuilt die, you're actually cutting all of your pieces to size, so then you're sewing them to size, so you're sewing each individual block, which allows for more scrappiness, but it also means kind of more time figuring on the front end of cutting the scrap so I get enough variety in there. So I haven't decided yet which one I'm going to do. Like I said, I'm going to do a block or two with both methods to see which one goes faster because, you know, truth to tell, whatever is faster is going to win for me because this is, again, going to be a huge quilt. I basically, because I don't know what size beds my nieces and nephews have, I always err on the side of making a king size quilt because that'll fit everything. If you make a queen and they have a king, it kind of covers the top. You might have a little bit of a drop, but it's just trickier. And I speak from experience. My husband and I started with a full size, went to a queen. Now we have a king, and trying to have quilts that we've had on various beds now fit our current bed is a little tricky. So I just err on the size of saying I'm going to make this thing as honking big as I can, and then they can deal with it. So that's going to be a decision to be made after I test some more. And then my second niece wedding quilt that I still have to do, different family, cousins. That one I took a picture of their bedroom once when I was in their house. And they didn't know. I'd gone upstairs to use the restroom or something and went in, snapped a quick picture of their bedroom. So I know what colors they have in there. So I'm going to be doing it scrappy with a controlled scrap in a particular color scheme. That one I'm going to use the curvy log cabin again. But all of these, you know, even though they're all young adults, they're all definitely going to prefer a more traditional quilt done in more modern colors. They're not kind of modern quilt sort of people, although they probably would enjoy modern quilts. I like modern quilts on a wall. I don't know about a modern quilt on a bed. When it comes to a bed quilt, I tend to go traditional on this, and I don't know why that is. Maybe that's just because that's what I grew up with, although my mom did some very kind of funky, far out there, Karen Stone, New York Beauty. If anybody knows what I'm talking about, she did one of those, which is a really funky, almost abstract design. And my dad refused to put it on his bed because he said it was too pointy for a bed quilt, which just always cracks me up. Anyway, so those are my, I am doing a bunch of log cabins. Again, because they are stinking fast to do, and you can do so many different layouts that even if they all put their quilts right next to each other, they wouldn't necessarily know it was basically all the same quilt, just laid out differently. Now, I have done log cabins before. The very first one I made years ago had no specialty anything. I was just cutting it to size using a pattern out of some book. Don't remember. This was back in the 90s. Late 90s is when I started quilting. And it was beautiful. You know, loved that quilt. Gave it to somebody. And to this day, I kind of wish I had kept it because I loved it. The second one I did was a quilt in a day, Eleanor Burns version. So it had really large logs. I made it as a baby quilt. Again, it was adorable. Unfortunately, I screwed it up with how I chose to machine quilt it. Because I wasn't confident in my machine quilting. Again, this was late 90s. I'd only been quilting for a couple of years. Wasn't confident in my machine quilting skills. And so I chose to use invisible thread and did a web, spider web pattern because of the fabric was all bugs. So I did a spider web pattern and ended up with these little hard lumps of invisible thread throughout the quilt. Again, that was my inexperience. I didn't realize that was going to happen, but it meant this was not going to be a baby quilt. There was nothing I can do about it. And if you've ever tried to rip out invisible thread, it turned into a dog quilt in our basement for our dogs. And I don't think that person ever got a baby quilt from me, sadly. And then I did one more recently, sometime probably 12 to 15 years ago, using Marty Michelle's log cabin rulers. And all I remember is that by the time I finished the quilt, I didn't love the rulers. And I had decided I probably wouldn't use them again, but it was so long ago, I don't recall why. I don't remember what my problem was with them. I know I certainly didn't think it made it any faster, but I don't remember why I didn't love them. So part of me kind of wants to pull them out now that I've got more experience, absent the last 5 years of not quilting, that maybe I would like them better. On the other hand, now I've got all these other ways to do it that I really enjoy. So stay tuned. I will be able to continue to compare and contrast techniques for doing log cabins because I'm using just about every technique out there. This is definitely my log cabin phase, and that's okay. I am okay with that. All I did today, I was hoping to do a little more quilting. I was planning on getting started on some of that, maybe finishing up the baby quilt. But I am fighting off a cold. I was out of town for work this past week at meetings, and my roommate had a really, really bad cold. She swore it wasn't COVID, although she hadn't tested. But by the time I came home, I was starting in with, you know, the headache and a scratchy throat and stuff. I did do a COVID test. It was negative. And so I've just really laid low this weekend, and my energy levels have been, you know, my endurance is not good, let's put it that way. I've got a good 15, 20 minutes in me at a time. So I wasn't even sure I was going to be able to pull off this podcast. Hopefully I sound healthier and more energetic than I've been feeling. But all I did today was cut some scraps. Because I'm doing all these log cabins, I am running out of light strips. So I went after the yardage in my stash. I used my AccuQuilt 2.5-inch die at this point, and I'm just slicing up some strips. Doing them all at 2.5 inches, because it's easy enough to cut them down to 1.5 if I'm doing something that's 1.5 inches more the traditional width for a log cabin. So it's just faster if everything's 2.5-inch strip, because then I can use them for anything and then cut them down if I need to. The fabrics I'm using, as I pulled them off my shelf, I realized some of these are still from what I inherited from my mother. So some of these are really old fabrics. And let's just say new fabric, they've come a long way in fabric production. Because a lot of these old ones just have no heft to them whatsoever. They're very kind of wiggly. They wrinkle super easily. They look thinner when you're cutting them. So I'm actually glad I'm cutting them up into strips. I'm having to use a lot of Mary Ellen's Best Press, so I've got them all hanging up right now. I have a tie rack that I use as a strip sorter, and I'm just drying them all out before I put them away. I may have to buy some more half yards of lights, mostly because a couple of these quilts, I really want a nice, crisp white for them. And most of the fabrics I have, most of my kind of tone-on-tones, are more of a cream, more of an off-white than a white. So I may just go see what I can find on sale and pick up some more half yards. I like to do scrappy backgrounds, but it depends on the colors I'm using, how that scrappy comes out. So anyway, that's kind of my plan. Nothing new to report on the English paper piecing front. I did finally get it all dug out of the cupboard. I'd been doing some of that while I was laid up after my knee surgery. But once we got rid of the recliner chair that I'd rented from a medical supply store and kind of put our family room back into order, I had stashed it in a cabinet. Just got it back out of the cabinet last night. So I'm kind of sorting through to remind myself where I was. I do want to get back to it, but not there quite yet. So that's my update. Excuse me. That's my update. And hopefully I will be able to post a new episode sometime before 6 months from now. I don't know if I'll quite get to weekly, but I am going to try to do it regularly because it is true for me, podcasting and quilting tend to go hand in hand. When I'm quilting, I have something to talk about. When I'm podcasting, I need to have something to talk about. So the two of them tend to drive each other. So I'm going to try to keep this up. And by the way, I've missed you all. Apparently this podcast showed up in some magazine list about 6 months ago, if I recall, because suddenly there were a lot of new listeners again and a lot of folks going to my Facebook page and all of that that hadn't been there before. So in honor of that, folks, I'm going to try to give you something new to listen to, because by now you're probably catching up on all my all old episodes. I do miss the conversation, so please email me at sandyquilts@gmail.com, Sandy with a Y, quilts with a Z. You can follow me on Instagram or Pinterest. I am no longer on Twitter or X or whatever it's called now, only on Instagram and Pinterest. You can friend me on Goodreads. You can like Quilting for the Rest of Us on Facebook. You can join the Quilting for the Rest of Us Kiva team and do good all over the world. And you will find all of that and my blog, which is probably equally out of date at this point, at www.quiltingfortherestofus.com. And until next time, go get your quilty on.
Quilting for the Rest of Us is dedicated to Shirley. Love you, Mom.